The show is about to begin.
Hang in there, it is.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
Featuring Smiley Kaufman.
If you were at a local IHOP at a PGA Tour event, you might see Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah. Put it up in the stance, strengthen the grip.
His co-host, Charlie Hume.
We've now picked five of the last eight winners on the PGA Tour.
Oh, it's going to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole. Please go to hole.
Yes, sir.
And the biggest names in golf.
That's a great question. Can I talk about it?
I don't think I'm ready.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Charlie?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody. This is the Smiley Show.
All right, guys, we got a special one here today with Shane Lowry joining the Smiley Show. Shane, you're over in Ireland right now playing a little golf. We've seen on social media playing with Roars, of course, Captain Luke Donald. Where'd you play today, though? You know, where were we at today?
I was in one of the best today. I was in Port Mernock today.
Were you? Were you now?
I think it's in my top, definitely in my top three, possibly in my top two in Ireland. So, yeah. It's one of the best. It was amazing today. The golf course was incredible, and it was like a good 12 to 15 mile an hour wind, so it was like quite tough. So it was good. Mm. It's good, enjoyable, and good to get. I played with my coach, my trainer, and one of my best friends. So yeah.
I think when I was there a couple years back, they had mentioned that Port Mernock was like trying to get into this Open Championship rotation. What's the update there? Because like when I left the place, I was thinking that, yeah, I could see it from a layout standpoint. What's your opinion?
Yeah, it's funny because obviously there's huge rumors and that's what they're saying. And even like, not that they're talking about it in the golf club there today, but they're kind of mentioning it, but they don't really want to say much because it's not official. And
yeah,
but I've heard like strong rumors that like early 2030, somewhere like 2031 or two, is potentially going to be there. So that would be amazing, yeah. Like, to play an Open Championship in Dublin.
Come on.
Would be...
Those yeah. crowds would be insane.
I think it would be a successful one. Like, it would be an amazing tournament there. Like, I think it's a great golf course. And I think, obviously, the cities there would be an amazing venue, yeah.
Well, all right, so you got Port Rush is hosting an Open Championship. Royal County Down is considered to be one of the best courses in the world. Could you ever see that being an Open Championship venue? Or is it, you know, what?
Just think the infrastructure isn't there for Royal County Down, like the golf course. I don't think you could get, like, the RNA, they want to get 40, 50,000 people per day. Like, we played Irish Opens in County Down where you're probably maxing out at like 15, 18,000 people a day. So
interesting.
I think, you know, everything is like, well, a lot of stuff is obviously financially driven as well. So, like,
yeah.
I don't think that they would go there. But obviously, Royal County Down is very, very special as well.
I mean, that would be so sick. An Open Championship of Royal County Down. And Port Mernock would be sweet, too. I think it's really cool, of course, that, you know, you wanted Port Rush, which we'll get into the Open Championship a bit. But we just B-rolled some video. Yeah, that old place right there.
Yeah.
We just B-rolled some video, though. Can you talk about the golf course that you played with Roars and Luke Donald? Because I couldn't pronounce it.
Yeah.
But where is this place?
It's St. Enadoc. It's in the very southwest coast of England. So Luke and his family, they spend like some time in the summers there, every summer, like maybe 4 to 6 weeks or something. And they've always talked about it. And then they said to us, maybe, I don't know, I think to be honest, it was all our wives who organized it. They were like, Diane and Wendy and Erica, they were like, you know, when can we go? And, you know, they booked a trip and then we were going and Luke was like, well, why don't we play golf one of the days? And there's this, like, it's a town called Rock in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. It's this like little seaside town, really nice. And the golf course is literally right in the middle of the town. And it was beautiful. Like, so obviously word got out that we were there, more so Rory was there, but and yeah, a lot of people started to show up, but it was enjoyable. It was good fun. Like, it was like one of those really cool, quirky links, old school links golf courses, and it was really enjoyable to play. It was what a beautiful day we got as well. So it was cool.
I've never felt like the Backstreet Boys, but I kind of got that experience, Shane, when I organized this trip to Ireland a couple years back, and we had this big bus that we were taking from all these different golf courses in Dublin. We played Ireland Club. We played County Louth. Is that how you pronounce
County
it?
County Louth. Yeah.
County Loud. Yeah. County Loud. Yeah. And we're bebopping between all these courses. You got Jordan and JT, and of course your friend, good friend Alan, helped us out in Dublin, got us on the right spots, good restaurants. Yeah. But we would show up, like, similar to how the whole town found out that you guys were playing. It seemed like they were out watching you guys. We had a similar experience when we show up to these courses, and we show up in this big bus, man. Like, we're just a fish out of water. We walk out of here. We're like a rock band, but we send out our D players first. Like, these guys are just waiting for us to come off the bus. Jordan and JT are waiting in the back, and we're sending out these guys that look like 20 handicaps. So you need to have some guys that'll just be a bit of a bluff, if you will.
Yeah, you do. But you also, I go play golf. Like, I generally don't play the Scottish Open. I generally go and play golf around Ireland, and I bring some friends who are like, they're actually really not great at golf. And that's being kind to them. And we would rock up at a golf course, and then before you know it, there's like 50 or 60 or 100 people by the end of the day. And it's the most unenjoyable day ever for the boys, because like, they're so embarrassed about how they're playing. And it was good fun.
Yeah, they had a probably like 50 people wrapped around the first tee at County Loud, and we sent out our worst golfer first, and I was so concerned that he was just gonna like hit a kid off the first tee. Like,
so what did you hit off the tee then? Did you hit it first?
No, I waited. I mean, remember, we're going off of a night in Dublin, right? So we've showed up the first tee. We're not hitting any golf balls. And I mean, we're just hoping that the fellas got off the first tee in one piece and that we didn't hurt anybody. And we didn't. Yeah. We had a great time. And we appreciate all the help and advice that we got, just navigating our way through Dublin, which was a whole lot of fun. What a great town. And so might as well start here. And if you want to go back and listen to the episode we had with Shane Lowry a couple years back, we really documented just your come up in the game of golf, especially coming from Ireland. But what we didn't get into was just your journey with Srixon. This episode, mm-hmm. of course, is presented by Srixon. I know you're a player who's obsessed with it. We all are. Can you talk about just when you were, 2010 and right around that time, just how you got in with Srixon? What was the process like for you, of course, coming off of, a really impressive amateur career?
Yeah, I remember. So I was I turned pro in like mid 2009, and then towards the end of 2009, Srixon came and asked. Obviously, he came to my agent or whatever at the time, and asked, and I kind of then went and I tested the ball. I remember testing the ball and absolutely loving the ball straight away. Mm. So that was like a big thing for me. And I remember at the time, my contract was only like wedges and balls. Obviously, Cleveland wedges are amazing. They always have been. And, even if you didn't have to use them, you probably would. It's one of those. I was pretty happy straight away. And then as I got in as I joined the company and then got to know the people in there, and then the company, I think, started going from strength to strength, a few years later with the equipment that we're making, and the iron started to become really good. And now, onto like the woods becoming really good. I think, being there through all of that, because at the start it wasn't Srixon Cleveland was like wedges ball. And then now mm-hmm. the company, it's see the company kind of grow from that to, where it is now, where like, I think it's the best iron in the world by far. I think the driver is certainly the last couple of models of driver have been amazing. Obviously the wedges, it goes without saying, the wedges are the best. And then for me, the ball is like, I always say this about Srixon players, when the going gets tough and like the conditions get tough, there's going to be a couple of Srixon players up there, because I think the ball is so good in tough conditions, in wind and rain and you know, crosswinds and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a really enjoyable journey, and getting to know everyone in the company, you know, starting in Europe and then moving to the States and getting to know everyone in the States, and they couldn't be nicer to me. And you know, I've been 16 years now with the company. It's amazing. It's you know, a whole career. So yeah, very fortunate that it worked the way it did and it happened the way it did, and I'm very, you know, proud to be still part of the company.
You know, Shane, over the course of 16 years, a lot has changed, right? You know, technology has changed so much. We're seeing better and better products year after year. Yeah. But when we talk about 2009, you remember what it was like when it was TrackMan, and all these things weren't necessarily quite as available, and players didn't use it quite as much. When you initially said you liked the golf ball, what about the golf ball did you like? Was there something that you saw from a trajectory standpoint, something that was missing in your game that immediately you saw and help you improve straight away?
Well, I was always like, straight away I would have to be like, I would have to like what it's doing around the greens. So I would have to like what it's doing chipping wise. And I actually like I like hearing the ball, so I like a kind of clicky enough ball. So I like
you and Hideki, and I remember
me and Hideki, and I remember at the time Henrik Stenson was with Strixon. He was using this really hard golf ball, and that was the golf ball that I started to use. And I remember, I'm not sure I hit the golf ball on a launch monitor before I started using it. I think I just was like, yeah, I kind of like this, and I just started using it, and that was it. And even now, like, obviously I go on, like, you know, TrackMan when I'm changing equipment and stuff, but like I reckon I could tell, you know, if a driver's spinning too much, if the ball is not what it, you know, doing what I wanted to do, I think I could tell pretty quickly from without any launch monitor system. But yeah, obviously we've got that there now, so it's just easier to do that.
It was simpler times 15 years ago, wasn't it?
It was. It was simpler times. So we sound really old now, Smiley.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know, it's got to pass the eye test, the sound test. And when I was in the Srixon trailer, this would have been at the Travelers Championship, I was asking the guys, you know, what are the players and all the Srixon ambassadors and guys that have tested this new Srixon driver, what's the feedback been? This is a ZXI. They got three different versions that the guys were testing out: the low spin option, the RKT prototype, and there's a couple other ones too. What did you see? You know, what was something that you liked? At least just comparing from the last couple of models as a player who's been playing the Srixon driver.
Yeah, so I really liked last year's model. When I tested the new model, I straight away prefer the feel of it. I think the way technology is it faster? I think as I get used to it and break it in, probably will get like maybe a mile or two faster. But straight away, I like the look of it and the feel of it. And for me, that's everything. If I don't like the look of something and it performs well, I generally can't use it. Even if the numbers are showing it's pretty good, I have to like the look of something. So, I've got a couple downstairs in my bag that I'll be taking to the Scottish and the British with me, but I'm not sure I'll use them yet because it's just a weird time of year to be putting something brand new in. But as soon as the time comes where I get to like use it in practice and test it a little bit more, I think it'll be going straight in because the feel of it is like way better, like more solid than last year's model. I really feel like you get a good solid hit out and it just feels really solid off the face. Yeah, it's good.
And Shane, for you, if you typically miss the center of the face with the driver, which I'm never assuming that you miss the center of the face with the driver, but let's just say you happen to miss the face one time, which side are you going to be on? Is it more up and down, like heel toe? Where are you kind of looking for that relief to see the driver be a little bit more stable for you?
Yeah, I'm a toe miss. I miss it in the toe if I miss it anywhere. So therefore, like, I need, like, my spin numbers probably can get a little bit high at times. Yeah. But I need that because if my miss is in the toe, the spin rate obviously drops. But what I like about this driver is I really feel like the consistency of the misses is quite good. Like, I don't see a huge drop off in spin when I hit it in the toe. or I don't see a huge jump in spin when I hit it in the heel. So it's kind of, I feel like there is that consistency level off the face. It is quite a forgiving driver. I really do think it is a very forgiving driver.
Yeah, even the last driver that Strix has put out, the ZXI that I've been playing, my miss has been lately been more on the toe, which is probably why I've been driving it better. When I was playing and struggling, it was on the heel. For the most part, if you're living on the heel, you're going to probably be struggling anyways. But what I noticed is that the toe ball for me, even when I hit it, it wasn't, you know, rocketing to the left. That's always a nice feeling where it feels like it's so stable through the shot to where my toe balls were going pretty straight. If anything, they'd be little pushes, which is odd. Like, that's something that I haven't experienced in a driver, to where I feel like I've found way more fairways off of miss hits. And that's why I'm really looking forward to
prototypes. That gives you the confidence to even go at it harder then, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what's great about new technology is like, that, you know, you figure out, oh, wow, the miss hits aren't actually that bad off this driver. I can hit this as hard as I want, you know, and, you know, especially when you get a wide open, you know, or, you know, decent sized fairway. It gives you more confidence in the equipment to kind of,
You're always been a super accurate driver of the ball too, Shane. I was just looking at your stats, right around 65%, which is in the top half of PGA Tour players in driving. But then I also like watch you play golf too, and I notice like tee height is something that you can always tell how a player is going to be going at a driver. You know, you watch Rory and he's got these, you know, big old tees. You tell he's going to hit it up on. He's going to be swinging out to the right. But then also, like, I'll watch you at times where it seems like you'll go a little bit more low tee. I don't see you teeing it up very high too often. Is that something that just kind of depends on the shot you want to hit, or do you keep it pretty consistent? I think a lot of amateurs too would be interested in your answer. Is like, hey, is there something I can learn from this to start hitting more fairways?
Yeah, I try and keep it like quite consistent. I try not to tee it too low. Yeah. Even when I'm trying to hit a low driver, I try to kind of keep it like a mid height. And then if I'm going after one downwind or something, I tee it up a little bit, but not too much. Because you start teeing it up, you get underneath it a little bit too easy. But I like to vary my shot shape a lot. I like to move the ball around the golf course. I like to hit the shots I see. And generally I do that from like a similar tee height, which is like not very high, but kind of mid height. And but that's what I like about this driver. Like I am like funny to fit into a driver because like I like to hit different shots. So I like to hit like little low cuts that will be like 5 mile an hour slower, you know, ball speed than a normal drive, but like, you know, will obviously almost go as far because there's less spin on it. I'm just like hitting like a knuckle cut down the fairway just to try and hit fairways. You know, I like to be on the fairway. I don't like playing from the rough. I know everybody likes to be on the fairway, but there's a lot of guys out there now who are purely driven by stats, you know, and stats say that you should get the ball as close to the green as you can. But I'd rather be on the fairway, like a little bit further back, have a nice iron on my hand.
Well, you know, I also see with technology changing is that oftentimes players are changing the tops of their bags. We've spoken about the driver, but also Strixon's going to be coming out with a mini driver. I haven't seen it yet. I know I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out. Maybe Charlie can help answer that question by the end of this interview. But for amateurs or even pros or even yourself, you know, where do you see the benefit of a mini driver? Like, is that something you could ever see yourself putting in the bag?
I've seen the new Strixon mini driver and it's beautiful. It's like a mini driver. Yeah. It's like it just looks like the driver, but it's smaller. one of my good friends who's a PGA pro, I played with him today. And I text him after a round and I said, you should throw that mini driver in the trash. Because I was like, he kept on hitting his mini driver and he kept on hitting it in the rough. And I'm like, why did you just hit your driver? I don't know. Like, I get some players like it, you know. Some players, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, I think, is one who absolutely loves his mini driver and he's been using it for a long time and he swears by it, but I don't think I'll be a mini driver guy ever. Like, I have my driver and, you know, like I just said a while ago, if I want to hit a fairway, I feel like I'll just hit a little bit easier and like hit like a little low cut. like I don't even, like my strongest fairway wood is 16.5 degrees. So I don't even have a strong three wood. I have like a four wood in my bag that I like.
Because you get some spin on it. You can actually control and hit some shots.
You know, so I can be on the fairway. You know, if you want to hit a fairway. Yeah. So if I want to hit a fairway, look, I think the bigger the head, the easier it is to hit. So like if I want to hit a fairway, I'm going to hit this big thing. Like first tee at a Ryder Cup, I want this big driver in my hand. I don't want anything else.
Oh, I feel that. I can't really relate to the feeling, but I know that's what I would want in my hands is a big old driver. Yeah. Well, Shane, of course, you play the Z-Star XV golf ball, and I know you've seen that golf ball end up in the bottom of the hole, oftentimes with a putter, chipper, of course, but you, for the most part, I don't know how you do it, but you end up hitting it in the hole with your irons way too much. It just doesn't make any sense, like how often your golf ball finds the hole from either a tee box or the fairway. Of course, you play the ZXi5 long irons, the ZXi7 six iron, a pitching wedge. And I got to ask you, Shane, like when your golf ball is heading towards the flagstick, do you think it's going in? Like just you're on this like generational run of the ball ending up in the hole from the short grass.
It never goes in when you think it's going to go in. It's like one of those. but yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Like I remember when I made that hole in one at the Masters this year, because like I had just made a hole in one in Houston.
Yeah, number two, right?
Like, yeah, like
the week before,
two weeks before we played in Houston. Like so, like what, 12 or 13 days before that, I just made a hole in one, the second hole there, and it was actually a similar type shot. It was like a cut 7 iron, same club. And yeah, when that went in, I was just like laughing to myself walking down there going, this is just stupid. Like I do hole quite a few shots. And people have asked me about it a lot. And I'm like, I don't know whether it's I'm lucky or I'm just maybe I'm okay at this game.
You're a really good iron player. Like you go look at your stats, there's a reason.
I'm a good iron player, yeah. It's my strength. Like but I do think like honestly, before like these model of irons come out, I'm not even just saying this because of Strixon. Like, and it's funny, my old caddy who caddied for me for the first 10 years of my career is caddying for me the next 2 weeks. And like I was a bad long iron player back 10 years ago. I wasn't a good long iron player. I was a good chipper and that got me out of trouble. and now like I'm a good long arm run. Yes, it's practice and it's maturity and it's, you know, but there has to be a certain amount of that as equipment as well. I feel like the Strixon, especially long irons, are some of the best like I've ever hit. They are the best I've ever hit. Like I would put my 4 and 5 iron up against most people. Obviously Scotty's probably up there as well, but I would be happy with, you know, my iron play against most people.
As your caddy who worked for you for the first 10 years of your career, who's just now seeing you play again, like up close and personal, like what has he noticed about your long iron play?
Yeah, so I actually went and met him. He caddied for me at the Travelers as well. And I went and met him for a coffee last week just to kind of get his feedback and talk about, you know, what he thought about my game. You know, what did he think, you know, I needed to work on or what did I do differently? And yeah, he was quite impressed about, you know, how good my game was, how different of a golfer I was, how kind of mature I was, and how I get my ball around the course. And yeah, my iron play was one thing that stood out, and the way I hit the ball. I drove the ball well at Travelers as well. So yeah, he was pretty happy. You know, he thought there was obviously a few things. You know, my short game is probably not as good as it was. There's just a few certain things that he mentioned, but it was, you know, all very positive, and he's very excited for the next 2 weeks, and so am I.
Before we get into your short game, I have to mention the holes in ones, because if you live under a rock and you just haven't heard the list, you just need to hear it. Charlie typed this thing up for me to read, just because I think we all need a good laugh as we hear this, because it's just absurd. Jamiriah Golf Estates Earth Course
Jamira,
13.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamiriah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I remember that was always on Rory's hat.
I was playing with Rory that
day.
I made that, actually.
Yep, 2013, and then Augusta National, the 16th hole. in 2016. The Old Course Walton Heath, number 5 in 2018. TBC Sawgrass, number 17, of course. That's the iconic hole there. Torrey Pines Albatross, number 6 in 2024. That one made me laugh. I'm like, okay, here we go. Now we're just going to hold fairway medals. Pebble Beach, number 7, just a little flip wedge down the hill. Another iconic hole. Memorial Park, number 2, you said it. Augusta National, number 6. As you hear that entire list, Shane, and you think about, like, what's next? Like, what is the next hole in one you have on your mind? Like, where, if you could pick the next one, where would it be?
If I could pick the next one, it'd be next week. But if I could pick if I could pick one, probably 12 at Augusta.
I mean, honestly, you should just go.
The problem is if you
got to go 12, then 4, you just get the full flush.
But if at 12 at Augusta, you're never aiming at the flag, so it's kind of a bad shot to go in. It's like you take a par in that hole every day. Obviously, there's iconic par threes, you know, Troon, the postage stamp of Troon, St. Andrews, maybe, you know, one in St. Andrews would be pretty cool. Yeah, okay. There's a few. 11 at St. Andrews, I think, would be very special.
Yeah, all right. We'll see that one next year. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to the short game. So you're talking about how to improve in something that your caddy had just noticed. For you, I've had this conversation with you before, and you're not somebody that feels like they're going to go put their sticks out, work on technique. I remember having a conversation where you said, you know what, I just go around the green for a couple hours, and I'll just kind of get the feels and get the touch back. Is that all it takes for you to kind of get your landing spots and your touch to where you're, you know, instead of chipping it to 8 feet, you're chipping it to inside 4?
Yeah, I think for me, I like playing with a feeling more sort of a thought, you know. So like I'll, you know, sometimes I'll have a feeling where like I'm, you know, maybe trying to feel like I'm turning a little bit more, or, you know, getting the club maybe a little outside on the way back, but more so like, you know, just like a little feeling. So I kind of, that's why I actually like when I'm struggling. Yeah, and I don't feel like I'm struggling, but if I'm struggling, I like spending time on my own around the short game area.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'll just like hit shots and I'll be like, oh, that felt good. And then I'll like do it again. I'm like, yeah, that's not bad. And then maybe I might get somebody to take a video of it and I'll have a look at it. And like generally it look way different than it feels. So like, you know, so yeah, I just kind of go with a feeling, and you know, I think a lot of the time you hit bad shots because of your head as well, right? So sure. A lot of the time you know you're not, and generally, you know, when I'm around the chipping green, I'll throw a ball down and my first shot will always be good, and then when I start thinking about it, that's when I like, so I have to like vary it a lot. I have to like move around, hit different shots. And I'm generally really good at the difficult ones. It's the like straightforward ones that like you kind of had so many options and stuff like that. So yeah, it's I'm different. I feel like I'm a little bit different to a lot of players, but I've always enjoyed the short game. I've always enjoyed practicing short game, and you know, I've been good at it over the years. My stats I don't think are very good, but I also think it's hard to be good at everything, right? If not everything, but it's like if my approach play stats are really good and my short game stats are really good, well then watch out, Scottie Scheffler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, that's right.
But it's hard to be great, you know, really good at everything.
Yeah, two things just came to mind when you just kind of mentioned, I'll get somebody to video this thing. You know, like the feel, for instance, for a chip shot might be, oh, I'm really feeling like I'm covering the golf ball. Like, it's going to really look like that when you get it on film. And then you see the video and it looks like you're cutting straight across it. You're like, that video is not right. I'm going to go with what I'm feeling. And there's such a cool, creative way to play the game. And then also just getting away from looking at videos too much, because I know I got caught up in it, especially the years I wasn't playing very well. I felt like I was just overanalyzing everything. Mm-hmm. But then also too, it's funny, like when I go and do my short game and putting drills, that I would, you know, have like these perfect strokes and I'd make 100 putts in a row from like 4 feet, like with all the lines. And then the first putt I'd get off, I'd miss and be like, What are we doing here? Like, I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but it's funny how...
Yeah, absolutely. I relate to not that, like, quite a bit of that. Like, this year, say, for instance, like, I feel like I'm putting more time and effort into the game this year than I ever have. And then I feel like I'm getting absolutely no rewards from it. But, like, it's something that, you know, sometimes maybe you need to take, like, a step back and kind of... You know, don't beat yourself up so much. Because I know, like, you hold those 100 four-footers in a row. You're almost like, and then that first four-footer you get, you know, on the Thursday afternoon, there's so much pressure on that putt that it's almost too big. You know what I mean? So that's why, like, you know, you need to be very careful about how you practice as well. So, yeah.
Oh, hey, what were you thinking over that putt? At the 18th at Ryder Cup, I'm sitting, I mean, I was probably 20 feet away from you, just left of the green. I had just picked up your group because there was so many groups that were coming through that could be the closer, and eventually got to you and Russell, and you had an opportunity to potentially, you know, bring the Ryder Cup back home to Europe. But for a while, like that day, it didn't ever seem like you were going to have that opportunity. When did you kind of realize it could come down to your match, by the way?
I suppose I probably,
because like you probably thought it would have been, you know, one of those first like six.
Oh, five to six groups, I was hoping I was going to be walking around the back nine, just like enjoying life, like trying to win my match. But like, you know what I mean? This is going to be great. Yeah. And then before we knew it, it turned into like the most stressful day of all time. Honestly, it was. And then Russell, me and Russell both played great that day. And then Russell birdie 13 and 14 to go two up. And I'm like, I remember walking down towards 15T and just been like, I need to do something here. And I realized kind of then that I didn't realize at the time that my match could win us the Ryder Cup or, you know, retain the Ryder Cup. But what I did realize was that, like, I need to keep him out here as long as I can. So, like, if I can get him down the 18th, or, you know, maybe if I can get something out of my match, it'll give the boys behind me, like Tyrrell and Bob, something to cling on to, you know? And I think that's a big lesson. Like, in a Ryder Cup, if you're well down, you just have to keep going. And, like, if you can keep your match going as long as you can, it gives the other players on the course like a bit of a lift and a bit of momentum. So I remember saying to myself, I was like, let's just try and get him down the 18th. If I can get Russell down the 18th, something can happen. And then obviously it did. I don't know how I did it, Smiley, to be honest. It was like one of those where...
I mean, went right in the middle of the hole. Like, what were you thinking? Can you feel your hands? Like, did you feel good?
No, you don't feel good at all. Like, it's one of those. Yeah, you feel like you could throw up at times. But I do remember being very aware of, obviously, what was happening, how big it was, and being like, I've got the chance to do, like, the coolest thing ever here. And I remember having that awareness going down 18, and that was pretty cool. And it was very special. Like, you know, that was one of, like, you know, I think as I get older, that will get nearly better. You know what I mean? Because at the time, obviously, it's amazing. Celebrate afterwards, and people talk about it a lot, and people still talk to me a lot about it. I think as I get older, I think, and it's amazing this day and age that, you know, we have the YouTube footage and, like, you know, everything that, you know.
How many times have you gone back and watched it?
I haven't watched it in a while, but I would say quite a few times afterwards, in the weeks afterwards.
I mean, just probably pinching yourself, man. I can't even imagine. And Charlie, I'll hop back in here because there's a couple things that I want to get into here with Charlie. And the first would be, I guess, and Charlie will kind of tee this up, but before I wanted to ask you is, I mean, I imagine you would have hopes to eventually be the captain of the Ryder Cup team. But is Luke going to do this the next 40 years, you think? Like, is he ever going to give it up?
If I was a betting man, I would say this will be Luke's last one. knowing Luke. It's a lot of time and effort. So even for him to agree to do this one, I think was huge. But I think, like, Ireland's going to be such a special
event. It's gonna be amazing.
And it's an amazing venue, and it's 100 years, and like there's a lot to it that obviously enticed them into, you know, nobody's ever done three in a row. So it's kind of, there's a lot of, there's a nice little carrot dangling there for him if we can win. And, you know, he's obviously, like, in my opinion, he's probably the greatest Ryder Cup captain ever, but this will just cement it if we win another there.
We just had John Peterson, Smiley's old LSU buddy, John Peterson, on last night talking about your golf tour. But as part of that conversation, as we wrapped it up, and this is probably simpler than it needs to be, but the question was, why is Europe so much better, the Ryder Cup, than we are? I know that's a very reductive question, but I think it's, what insights do you see? You know, obviously we know Luke is carefully planning these things out. We hear all the reports of you know, thread counts and bed sheets and shampoo and conditioner and all these sorts of things. What do you see as a player, and then in contrast to guys you see on tour on the American side, where you just feel like you're better prepared to go out and win this thing as you have the last few times out than the Americans are?
I don't know. Like, it's, at the end of the day, it's 12 golfers against 12 golfers, like 24 of the best golfers in the world. I don't know why, like, Europe have been so successful over the last like 30 years. Obviously the US have won a few in that period. And like after, like I was at Whistling Straits, and after Whistling Straits, everybody said Europe are not going to win another one for 20 years.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think what we have is especially the last two teams, right? We have an unbelievable core of the team. You know, we have a mix of like superstars with youth and with experience as well. So obviously we've got, you know, Rory and John are like, you know, the superstars. And then we've got, you know, Justin Rose in there. And I'm kind of getting older, so I'm like in there, you know, I think there's quite a bit of experience. Obviously, Tommy Fleetwood has loads of experience. We've got a lot of good golfers, you know, over the last, especially the last, I feel like the last two teams, there was a lot went for us in the build-up, in the qualifying. You know, the fact that we were the same team, I think the continuity of it all was like huge. You know, we arrived on the practice trip at Bethpage. It felt like we had just left Rome. Mm. You know what I mean? Because it was basically the 12 guys. It was obviously Rasmus instead of Nikolai. Yeah, but
11 and a half.
11 and a half.
Well, that's our, like, our ongoing bit on the show is over under 3.5 for brothers that are going to be on the next team. Now that Alex is playing as well. Yeah, the Fitzpatricks and the Hoygaard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, obviously, Alex has had an unbelievable year. Oh. So who knows? I think there is there going to be a few different players? Look, generally, like, maximum 8 to 9 players make the team again. So there might be a bit of a changeover. You know, and if there is, I'm sure those players will be fine. And they'll be able to, you know, they'll be worth, you know, their weight being there. They'll be the lad to the team. So, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you all our secrets anyway. I just spent the weekend with Luke Donald. I think he'd be sending me like a hard text message. But, and that's why, you know, when he gets asked afterwards, why are you so good? He starts talking about shampoo and thread count. So people cling on to that and, you know, don't think of anything else.
That if I could just get, I think he actually did. They revealed the shampoo conditioner. I need to get my hands on that. I'm good with that. If I can just get that
Le Labo. I'll bring a bottle for you, Charlie, next time I see you.
Fantastic.
Le Labo, that shampoo is fantastic, Charlie.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Good, it's better sense than what I'm great currently sense using. Beats the heck out of Head and Shoulders. So we are about 2 weeks out here from the fourth major of 2026, saying the Open Championship. And so Smiley and I were kicking around this idea. We initially were going to put this homework assignment on your place, but I think we should make this a collaborative team exercise here. And we're not going to do 18 holes, but let's put together our ultimate 9 holes of Open Championship golf using like the main courses in that rota. So I don't know if you have certain holes in mind. It doesn't necessarily have to be a par 36.
Back nine is what we want. The perfect nine
finishing stretch of the Open Championship. What are some holes you throw out there, Shane?
Well, I think 18 is the 18 that's in Andrews. Okay. I think that's the most special place in the world.
Do you go 17 road hole too? I mean, if we're going to go 10 to 18 and building a perfect back nine, like, Is 17 the road hole number 17? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
are we talking like it has to be like the 17th
no.
hole?
No.
It has to be, no.
I think holes. Like the postage stamp has to be in there, right?
Has
like
to be in there, yeah.
It has to be in there.
Yeah, I think 16 at a... I think 16 at
Port Rush.
Maybe 16 at Port Rush. Yeah,
yeah.
I think I'm with you there.
But what about
our 16th hole?
But we have our 16th hole. There we go. But now we have two par threes. So are we bouncing like nine?
We need a par five.
Need a par five. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna refresh your memory on the courses. So St. Andrews, Port Rush, Troon, Birkdale. Muirfield, Hoy Lake, Carnoustie.
Muirfield has to be in there. Something out of Muirfield has been in. Muirfield's one of the best.
Nine at Muirfield, that long par five with the split
fairway? Yeah, nine par five. The ninth at Muirfield, yeah.
How about we'll make that our 11th hole? How's that sound?
Yeah, there you go.
And then maybe 12 can be seventh at Troon. Does that sound okay?
Are you looking for eight, right? The postage stamp?
I think the hardest. We need a really hard hole in there.
Yeah.
Is it the 11? 11,
11 at Troon.
11 at Troon. Oh, that's the hardest hole in the world. That is like.
Do you want to
stand there? All you can see is gorse bush and the rail. It's like.
Oh my god, man! When you get to that hole during a squall, like you catch it at the wrong time, especially like 10, 11, 12.
You might as well just get on the train.
Like, seriously,
yeah,
it's so brutal.
Now I kind of want to go old school because we're talking railway. I got the flag behind me here. Number one at Prestwick.
Yeah, I've never played Prestwick.
Oh, it's so great. I went there on a trip with my dad 2 years ago, and he hit it on the train tracks to start the round. I was like, that's perfect. That's so perfect. Just let's get it going.
I also think, I don't know, like I think 1 and 18 as the first and 18th at St. Andrews is like...
It's perfect.
I think first, like, I'm so... But are we putting three holes from St. Andrews in there?
All right, right now? No. All right, do you want to know what we got right here? So I'll tell you what I have listed. Okay, so the working list right here is that the 10th hole is the first hole at St. Andrews.
Okay.
The 11th hole is Muirfield, the 9th hole, the par 5.
Love it.
Yeah. The 12th hole... is true number 8, the postage stamp.
You better birdie the par 5 before you play that hole.
So 13, we have an open slot. Okay. 14, I have written down, is the 11th hole at Troon. The 15th hole is open. We have the 16th hole in Calamity, the Calamity Corner, Port Rush, the par 3. 17, we have the road hole, and 18th, we have the 18th at St. Andrews. So we have the 13th and the 15th hole currently open, but we can mix these things around. I mean, how is this for a start right now?
We need some other venues in there.
Like anything from – what about this year? Anything from Birkdale this year?
I can't remember Birkdale. Yeah. Honestly, I can't remember.
We have Hoy Lake. We have – Royal Lipman St. Anne's. Turnberry is. I've never played there.
I've never played Turnberry.
What about some Carnoustie? Carnoustie hole there? Yeah, like 17 or 18.
Carnoustie is one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's iconic.
We're going to go 18 at Carnoustie here for 15. Now we just need one hole, the 13th hole. And if we can make it a par five, it'd be great. If not,
man.
We can do whatever we want here. It's the world's our oyster right here.
What
about we've already gone on for Carnoustie. I'm just thinking of venues.
What about 10 at Turnberry? Isn't that the hole after the par 5?
I can't remember Turnberry.
That's a par 5, I think.
No. Like I played Turnberry in the British Amateur in like must have been 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a bit ago. All right, we just need one hole here. So we just it's
11th. At Turnberry, the 11th is a par 5.
Name some other open venues.
Let's see. Let me go back here. We got St. Andrews, Royal Troon, Royal Port Rush, Carnoustie, Muirfield, Royal St. George's, Royal Liverpool, Royal Birkdale, Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, and Turnberry are the rota that I currently have. Although I know Turnberry is not technically in the rota right now.
There's Muirfield. Muirfield hasn't been.
Well, Muirfield, we have Muirfield. We have the ninth in here.
No, but as in, it's not in Rota.
Oh, yeah. I guess
it hasn't been.
What about that par five? I think it's maybe the sixth hole at Carnoustie. It's got like the
Yeah, that Hogan Valley.
Yeah,
Hogan Valley. There you go.
Perfect. I think that's got to be Hogan's it Valley. Right there. That's another hard, par five. It's like it's an iconic tee shot. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Great.
There it is.
Sorted. All right. Fantastic. Okay.
You want to hear it again?
We're very biased to Scottish golf. Scottish and Irish golf. There's no English courses in there.
Hey, we like what we like, and that's okay. Yeah, there you go. You know? All right. So it's a first hole at St. Andrews is number 10. We have Muirfield, the ninth hole, the par five. We have the Postage Stamp is the 12th hole at Troon. Hogan's Alley, number six at Carnoustie is 13. The 11th hole at Troon is the 14th hole. And then you head to the 18th hole at Carnoustie at number 15.
Oh,
then we go to Carnoustie, or then we go to Port Rush and play Calamity Corner.
Oh my God. That
brutal par three. And then we have the road hole 17, and then St. Andrews, the 18th hole. I mean, that's a fun little back nine. How'd we do?
I think I've just shot 40.
That's pretty good exercise. That was fun.
That stretch of four holes is like the hardest. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, this is actually a perfect way to transition to the end of this interview, because where we end 18 at St. Andrews, because Shane, I'm going to tease Smiley a little bit here. I got the joke. The joke landed for me earlier when you were talking about his Ireland golf trip. Yeah. And he was there. Justin Thomas was there on that trip. It's fitting, because I think maybe one of my favorite hot mic moments in recent history was 2022 St. Andrews. JT's Thursday tee shot at 18 wasn't so great, and he hits a good one on Friday. It, I think you said most improved anyway.
Yeah. And then he said, "Shut the up."
How do you know when you can rib a guy in those situations, or maybe for you, like, how are there situations where it's like I'll allow a good tease even if I'm playing poorly?
It depends who it is, like, right? So obviously, like, Thursday, JT, like, was obviously trying to hit this like low cuff five wood or something, and he topped it and it landed short of the bridge. It jumped the burn and like ran up past the road, and I was like I can't remember who else we were playing with, but we kind of looked at each other, we're like, oh my God. And then he hit I don't know what he hit the next day, but he hit it up like, I think, on the green or near the green, and that's when I was just like, oh, must improve, JT. But yeah, I get on well. It depends. Like, you get on well with someone, you can kind of do that. But and he was obviously playing okay the second day. But if you have someone who's not playing okay, you kind of
time and place.
There's time and place for everything. But yeah,
okay,
good time.
The next one I have for you is the last time you were on this show, we talked about your dad, Brendan, his Gaelic football career. What I did not realize at the time is that the look that we see, the Shane Lowry look on tour, a lot of black, we see that Strixon hat, the black hat with the white lettering, the black, shirts you wear, is a nod to Clara GAA that you were the president and the sponsor of, to the jerseys they wear. I had no idea.
I forgot I was one of the presidents. I'm like an honorary president of the GA club. But it's like I'm from it's a town I grew up in. So when you grow up in Ireland, the whole town revolves around this community, and it's like our Gaelic football community. And I'm lucky enough I'm able to help out with some stuff at the club, and I'm not sure how many members there is, but the town is only maybe 2,500 people. So it's small. All my friends and family still live there. My dad's still involved with the team. My dad goes down training with the team. He helps out with training every couple of nights. He's down there. So, and we're just building a new, like, stand, like a gym and a stand and a new thing for the club. So, we're doing some good stuff there. So it's good fun.
We need to see you like wear this jersey. You know, you see some guys of the Canadian Open, they put the hockey jerseys on. We need to, like, on an iconic par three, Shane, wear the Clara GAA jersey.
I'm not sure the RNA would be too happy with that.
Maybe the Irish Open,
or the Phoenix Open or something. We'll see.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if the Phoenix Open would anybody.
They have no idea.
That looks cool.
That's got to be like an F1 jersey.
Yeah.
All right. Next one I got for you, Shane, is we're both married to nurses. So first of all,
no way.
You, Thank you to all the nurses. Thank you to Wendy. Thank you to Amanda. Thank you to all the nurses out there doing the Lord's work. You really, you're the backbone of our society in many ways. This is what I want to ask you, Shane, is, golly, it's probably 2 years ago now where my son was running around the house and just rocked his head off the bed frame, starts bleeding immediately. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And like my very calm wife, Amanda, comes over and knows what to do. Do you have like a vivid story of Wendy going like right into nurse mode when something happened to you or the kids?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I don't, but I know like every time any of our friends have a newborn or have a new kid and they think something's wrong, they ring Wendy straight away. So like she's always like, she's like a children's nurse. She was a psychiatric nurse as well. So like perfect for me, you know. I'm a big kid that's a bit mad as well. So I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember any stories, but yeah, she's got like that. She's always like, if anything happens, I'm always like, oh my God. And she's always like, oh, they'll be fine. You know what I mean? It's like,
love it.
But nurses are amazing people. They are. They don't,
they're the best.
I always say that they do an amazing job. They don't get paid enough. And you know, we obviously everyone needs good nurses. So yeah.
Well my question would be, does Wendy, is she okay with the old phrase, this place? Like, is she one that's like,
she does always tell me, you need to be nicer to yourself. Yes. Yeah, that's what she says. You need to be nicer to yourself.
That's I get the same thing from Amanda when I come home from playing bad golf. She's like, you don't get to go play and then come home and be mad. You're on KDB now. Yeah. So yeah. All right, couple more for you, Shane. I was very fortunate recently to play with your longtime pro-am buddy, good friend of yours, Ed Herlihy. And he was
the best.
He was admiring this bad boy on my bag. Taking a look at this. And I said, listen, I'm just trying to keep you comfortable here. You know, you're used to seeing Shane. I saw this on the bag in Philly and, you know, the little Strixon boxing glove. What is your favorite head cover you've owned all time? You have like a special sentimental one.
I actually have... I have head covers on my bag now. Like I've used them for years, but I get them made. Charles makes them for me from Stitch.
Yeah.
But Charles. Yeah. Yeah. So he gets them for me. And they have Strixon written on them. Because obviously I need Strixon head covers, but they have, three head covers. There is a shamrock, but then there's also, my kids are Iris and Ivy. So there's an Iris flower on one and a piece of ivy on the other. So they're my head covers. So
I love that. Is that Charlie Bergwine? The guy they're like 30 minutes from me here in Durham. How about that? Small world. So good people over at Stitch. All right, last one, Shane. Where is the best pint of Guinness served? Like the coldest, the best? Where, if you're like... I'm going to sit down and enjoy this Guinness. It's going to be the best one I can get on earth. Where is that happening?
I hope his answer is going to be my hotel at Royal Birkdale. that would make me so excited for the 2 weeks from now.
So it's funny. I obviously live in Florida now, and I came home last week after the Travelers, and I went and met my good friends on Wednesday, and we went out for dinner and we had a couple of drinks. And we went to this place I'd never been before, but I've heard so many good things about it that I just wanted to go and try a place called the Gravediggers in Glasnevin in Dublin. And it was pretty good.
It's good.
I'm not like a snob that I'm like, this is better than this. I don't really notice the difference that much, but it was very good.
So it's situational, right? Like long round of golf, tough day, you know. That might be the best Guinness you've ever had, you know.
You know, it depends who you're with, what time of day it is, what the weather's like. It's all very situational. Yeah.
Well, Shane, we appreciate you taking the time. We know it's currently 10:39 p.m. local time, so we really do appreciate your time. And best of luck next week. Go get them at the Open Championship. And then lastly, if you happen, and we hope that you happen to win the Open Championship again and have that Claire jug, will you please shoot me a text so that I can go party with you and drink Guinness out of the Claire jug? That
you would be can come. You can come to Dublin with me, Smiley. You can,
all right.
You want to be on that one?
I'll be on the next flight, guys. I'll see you there. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, go get him, man. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed that. Cheers.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first time fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the